All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Our daf today is Yutes 19. We are picking up from Yurchas Amun Beis, the last line. Amar Rava, Yurchas Amun Beis 18b, on the last line. Amar Rava Bar Ado Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Sammy and Malka Esterson in memory of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchak Lei Ben Aaron HaKohen, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamos have an Aliyah and the family in Nechama. All right, so let's begin. Remember, again, we left off in the middle of the sugya of Bikurim yesterday. So let's continue a little bit along that. Amar Rava Bar Ada Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Bikurim me'imasai mechayvin aleihem. So the Gemara begins with a very simple question, a very profound question. Rava says, from what point in time is one chayiv for Bikurim? Now, what does that mean, is one chayiv from Bikurim? Take a look at the Tap Rashi, Yotes Amud Aleph. Misa Zara Ochlon. If a non-Kohen eats Bikurim, from what point in time will he be Chayiv for that act of consumption? So the Gemara says, Mishriyiru Pnei HaBayis. Ultimately, again, as soon as the Bikurim come to the Beis HaMikdash, as soon as they see the Beis HaMikdash, so one is Chayiv, ultimately, again, for a non-Kohen, would be Chayiv for consuming the Bikurim. In other words, once, as you're bringing them up, this is actually very interesting, because generally we assume that the Bikurim designation occurs when you first go out into the field, right? Like the Mishnah Bikurim says, they tie a gemi, they would tie a little piece of string around the particular fruits, that's when it's Bikurim. But the Gemara is saying, no, is that there might be a designation as Bikurim, but the Chalos Shem Bikurim, the actual halachic technical designation of Bikurim, doesn't occur until the fruits actually come to the Beis HaMikdash. Yishir Pnei HaBayis. Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? Ki Hai Tana, the following Tana. This sign, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bikurim, Miktsasan Bechotz, Umiktsasan Bifnim. This is actually an interesting case. Let's say I'm bringing a basket of Bikurim, and part of the basket is inside of the Beis HaMikdash, part of the basket is outside of the Beis HaMikdash. What's the status of the fruit in the basket? Shebachotz, Harehein Kechulim. So the fruit that's on the outside, right, the fruit that has not yet physically entered the building, ultimately, again, it's chulin. It's like unconsecrated fruit. L'chol divrayim. Shebifnim harehen kehekdesh l'chol divrayim. But the fruit that I've extended inside, we'll say ultimately, again, that is like hekdesh in every way. So you see over here that lamaisa, but you also see that re'yas p'nei habayis doesn't just mean to see the outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, Riyas Pnei HaBayis actually means entry into the Beis HaMikdash itself. So once the fruit enter into the Beis HaMikdash, they have the Chalos Shem Bikurim. Before they enter in, they're just stam fruit. So Amar Rav Sheshes, Bikurim HaNochama Kebaspan. So we'll say, by the way, that is Halacha LaMaisa. That's how the Rambam Paskins. That, again, the fruit only becomes designated as Bikurim after it actually enters into the Beis HaMikdash proper. I'm going to have Sheshes. Rabbi Sena, back to our previous discussion. Hanocha ma'akev espohen, kriya ein ma'akev espohen. So Sheshes comes along and says that when it comes to Bikurim, Hanocha, placement of the fruit by the Mizbeach, ultimately goes is ma'akev. In other words, that is an indispensable part of the Bikurim service. Kriya ein ma'akev espohen. But the recitation of the psukim, that is not ma'akev. The recitation of the psukim, we'll say, of course, everybody agrees, l'chatchila, you should have it. But if you don't do it, it's not ma'akev. Kiman, we'll say, whose opinion does this reflect? Kihai tano, like the following tano. The sign, Rabbi Yossi Omer, shlosha dvarim mishum shlosha zekemim. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi used to say three different things in the name of three elders. What were the three elders? Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yochol Ya'ale Adam Maisu Sheni Bizman HaZeh Yerushalayim. Yochol and Rabbos is actually very interesting. So Rabbi Shmuel begins the following discussion. I might have thought that a person would think that you could even bring Maisu Sheni to Yerushalayim today. I will say today means in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash and still eat it. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Yochol Ya'ale Adam. So says Rashi, Kasavar Kedusha Sa'aret Lo Batla. So both say, this opinion holds that the Kiddush of the land, Rabbi Shmuel says, and remember again, Rabbi Shmuel here is having a theoretical discussion. I might have thought that a person could go ahead and bring Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim and eat Maaser Sheni today. So Rashi says over here, Kasavar, Kiddush HaSa'aretz Lo Batla. So we'll say, first of all, This presupposes a number of things. Number one, that the kedusha of the land itself, is not batal. We'll say we're going to touch on two different discussions today, which is kedusha as Eretz Yisrael and kedusha as Harabayis. And those two things are different. In order for Trumos and Maestros to be in effect today, kedusha as Haaretz, the holiness of the land, has to still be intact. That may or may not mean that Harabayis, the Temple Mount, still has its Kiddusha as well. Two independent Kiddushos. So Rabbi Shmuel says, back to that Rashi. Kasaber Kiddusha Asaretz, lo batla, v'tzarech lahafish maestros, v'ka'amar yochol ya'alenu, v'yochlanu b'yushalayim, v'lo pinyon. So Rabbi Shmuel says, say it like this. I might have thought that because there is still Kiddusha Asaretz Yisrael, I could separate out my sosheni and what? Bring it to Yerushalayim and eat my sosheni in Yerushalayim. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'dinu. Yochel yale adam my sosheni bizman az Yerushalayim. V'yochlanu. V'dinu. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel says, V'dinu, I'm going to prove to you from a Kal v'chomer that this in fact is not the case. Watch this. Bechor ton hava'os makum. So we'll say bechor, which means again, this is, I have to give my firstborn animal. I have to give my firstborn animal to the Kohen. I give that to the Kohen, and the Kohen is permitted to consume it. I am not permitted to consume it. I desire not to consume it. So what happens? So Bechor ton havas makom. A Bechor must be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Umayser sheni ton havas makom. Mayser sheni also must be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. So ma Bechor enu el bifnei abayis. Just like the Bechor offering can only be brought when there is a Beis HaMikdash. Af meiser eina ella bifnei habayis. So to what? So to meiser sheni could only be brought when there is a beis hamikdash as well. So what's this? Rabbi Shmuel tried to make a kav chomer. I might have thought that since there's kedusha Eretz Yisrael and there's an obligation to separate out trumos and maestros, that's what? That halacha lemaisa again, I can bring meiser sheni to Yerushalayim today and I can in Yerushalayim. To which Rabbi Shmuel says no. That I can make a kav chomer. What's the kav chomer? That meiser sheni has to be brought to Yerushalayim and bechor has to be brought to Yerushalayim. Or both, right? Just like bechor could only be brought if the beis hamikdash stands, so to Meister Sheni could only be eaten in Yerushalayim if the Beis HaMikdash stands. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, Ma lebechor shekein ton matan damin ve'emur legabi mizbeach. But 1 second, there's a fundamental distinction. What's the fundamental distinction? When it comes to Bechor, Rabbi says, so Bechor requires blood applications. Bechor requires matan damim, which means sprinkling of blood, ve'emurin. And also, again, the sacrificing of certain limbs on the mizbeach. So to which Rabbi says, doesn't apply to Maaser Sheni. Therefore, again, who is to say that Lemaisa, again, I'll say just a quick announcement. Some beige Camry engine is running in the parking lot. If you have a beige Camry, you left your car on. Thank you, Ira.
That could be intentional.
Okay, if you are the owner of a beige Camry, LE, car engine running in the parking lot. Ira, thank you. So we'll say, so the Gemara says over here, so therefore the Kal v'chomer doesn't work. The Kal v'chomer doesn't work because at the end of the day, halacha lemaisa again, Bechor has matan damim as well as giving of a murim on the mizbeach, which again Maaser Sheni does not. Therefore you can't prove from Bechor that Maaser Sheni requires the presence of a Beis HaMikdash. To which Rabbi say the Gemara introduces something else. So why don't we say, Bikurim Yochichu. So Bikurim can prove this point. How so? Mala Bikurim Shekin Tu'unin Hanocha. So I would say maybe Bikurim can prove the point. Bikurim have to be brought to Yerushalayim, but also what? Require the presence of a Beis HaMikdash. So too, again, I would say that Maaser Sheni also, not only has to be brought, but can only be brought when to Yerushalayim, only be brought when there's a Beis HaMikdash. To which the Gemara says, no, you can't bring a Raya from Bikurim, why not? Ma'ale Bikurim, Shekein Tu'unin Hanocha. Bikurim are different, I will say, because Bikurim ultimately, again, require Hanocha, require placement before the Mizbeach. Talmud Lomar, V'achalt Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Therefore, the Pasuk says, ultimately, again, you shall consume them before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Makish Meister LeBechor. The Torah equates Meister Sheni to Bechor Behema, to the bringing of the firstborn animal. Ma Bechor Eino Ela B'Lifnei Abayis. Af meiser eina ela lifnei abayis. So we'll say, so again, at the end of the day, the Gemara says, we thought we were going to learn this whole thing out from a Kal v'chomer. It turns out that we don't learn out from a Kal v'chomer. It turns out that's what? That we learn it out ultimately again from a pasuk. V'yachat lifnei Hashem elokecha, the Torah equates meiser sheni to b'char. Just like b'char, we'll say, can only be brought when the Beis HaMikdash stands. So to again, af meiser sheni, so to we'll say, meiser sheni is only consumed in Yerushalayim when the Beis HaMikdash stands. We'll say, I want to be clear. Meiser Sheni, we know, does not need to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. The limud over here is that Meiser Sheni has to be consumed in Yerushalayim, but can only be consumed in Yerushalayim when the Beis HaMikdash stands. Now, I will say, why is this entire conversation relevant for us? For only one purpose. Remember again, the Gemara quoted the statement from Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said that by Bikurim, Hanocha Ma'akeves Bohen. When it comes to Bikurim, it's not Kriya, but rather it's Hanocha, it's the placement before the Mizbeach. Ultimately, that is Ma'akev. So Rav Sheshes said that. The Gemara wanted to say, whose opinion does this reflect? So the Gemara now suggests that, in fact, that was the opinion ultimately, again, of Rabbi Yishmael. Because remember again, Rabbi Yossi brings up this idea that by Bikurim, you can't learn out from Bikurim to Meiser Sheni. Why not? Because Bikurim has a particular, peculiar halacha, or not peculiar, but halacha, that placement before the Mizbeach is Makiv. So from here you see that Hanocha, Rabosai, that placement before the Mizbeach, is the key piece of the Bikurim service. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, V'imisa, and again, if it's true that that Hanocha was not Ma'akev, but ultimately, again, Kriya was Ma'akev, the recitation of the Psukim was what's most important, Lifroch, then the Gemara should have asked, or the Brisa should have asked, Ma'le Bikurim Shekin to Unin Kriya V'Hanocha. The positive meaning, when the Brisa was learning it out, they wanted to show that you can't learn out Meiser Sheni from Bikurim, because Bikurim has its own unique halachas. It should have said Bikurim has the din of Kriya and Hanocha, Meiser Sheni does not, but it doesn't say anything about Kriya. It says, we'll say, what does it say? It only talks about Hanocha. So from here you see that what? That Hanocha is Ma'akev, Kriya is not. Amravashi, Nehidi Kuva Leka, Mitzvah Mi Leka. So Ravashi says, okay, first of all, even if you say that Kriya is not Ma'akev, is Kriya not a Mitzvah? In other words, the Braisa could have still included Kriya. Because it will say, again, all the Gemara needs to show, when you're trying to make a Kal v'chomer, and you want to disprove a Kal v'chomer, how do you disprove a Kal v'chomer? By showing that the item you're trying to compare ultimately, again, is some type of irregularity. Irregularity is the wrong word, but some type of uniqueness in it. So the Gemara could have just said that by Bikurim, there's, even though if Kriya is not Ma'akev, there's a din of Kriya and Hanocha. Because there's a peculiar halacha of Kriya and Hanocha, by Bikurim, you just can't learn out Meiser Sheni from it. Why omit Kriya altogether? Ela Amar Ravashi, Kevan Di'ika Bikuri Hager. But this is actually quite interesting. Deboi Lememar Shanishpa Shem Lavosenu, Velo Matzi Amar Lo Psikole. Oh, but listen to this. Says the Gemara, do you know why the Braisa doesn't make a mention of Kriya? Because Kriya is not an absolute obligation. What does that mean? In other words, we'll say there are cases in Bikurim where even Lechatchila, the individual bringing the Bikurim, will not go ahead and not recite the Psukim. Or we'll say, where does this come up? This comes up in a case of a ger, of a convert who is bringing Bikurim. We'll say, a convert who is bringing Bikurim does the Hanacha, does the placement, does not do the Kriya. Why not? Because Rebbe says part of the Kriya, the Pasuk says, here's what you say. I say today to Hashem your God, I've come here now to learn the Baruch who swore to our forefathers to give to us. We'll say, a ger can't say those words. Why can't the convert say those words of Ozai? Because Hakadosh Baruch Hu didn't promise it to his forefathers, right? Ultimately, again, he's a convert. His forefathers, again, are not the Jewish forefathers. Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, because there are cases, well, not halacha lemaisa, because the Gemara is suggesting over here, because there are cases where Kriya does not happen, therefore, again, Therefore, again, the Braisa does not include Kriya at all. So the Gemara says, "Lo matziyamar lo psikole." So he also just, I'll tell you something interesting. This happens to be a fascinating discussion. Rambam actually doesn't pask in this way. The Rambam says that even a ger recites these psukim. He will say, because this, obviously, because once a person converts, they become part of the Jewish people, which means that it's the same way, you know, there's a discussion in the poskim, what does a ger do with the opening bracha of Shmona Esrei? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, that's the bracha of Avos, where we make reference to a patriarchal connection, to a paternal connection. So obviously a ger says that also, because once you go ahead and you convert, it's not only Mikana Labba, it's not only from here and going forward, meaning you become part of the Jewish continuum. So there's an interesting discussion in general by Birkas HaMazon. This comes up where there's a reference to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael to our forefathers. Again, we assume that a ger says all of these things. The only shaila in halacha that is much more than my says, what does a ger do with which bracha? Shalom Asani Goy. Right, Shalom Asani Goy. It's a very interesting discussion in the poskim, because for a person to say Shalom Asani Goy, if they converted, his pasha seems to be not true. Right? After HaKadosh Baruch Hu did make them a Goy. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. So the nice is a whole discussion about what that bracha what does that mean? What does that mean? But okay, not for today. Anyway, the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, even if the Kav HaChomer doesn't work, why can't I make the limud from what's called a mahatzad? We'll say, loosely translated, a mahatzad is a common denominator. So look at Rashi for just a moment. It's about six lines down in the short lines of Rashi. So we'll say, you could have easily just said that the common denominator between Bikurim, Bechor, and Meiser Sheni is what? Is that Lamaisa, they all require bringing to Yerushalayim. And then just say the Matzah, the common denominator says, everything that requires a bringing to Yerushalayim also requires the presence of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, again, Bikurim requires presence of the Beis HaMikdash, Bechor requires presence of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, by extension, Meiser Sheni also requires presence of the Beis HaMikdash. And you just learn it out ultimately again from this common denominator. Mishum the Ikal Mifrach, because one could have made the Pirach, one could have asked the question, because I will say ultimately again, one could have said that Lamaisa, the common denominator is that they all have what we call a tzad mizbeach. We'll say ultimately again, all of them have some kind of connection or some part of their service that is tethered to the mizbeach, that is tethered to the altar. If you look at Rashi, Rashi tzad mizbeach, ze lematan damim, ze lahanocha. Ultimately again, Bechor has blood applications, Bikurim has Hanocha, Meister Sheni has nothing to do with the Mizbeach, Rabosai. So I might have thought maybe the only things which require a Beis HaMikdash are logically those things which have some type of service on the Mizbeach. But Meister Sheni, which has absolutely nothing done on the Mizbeach, maybe I can eat it in Yerushalayim even today, even without the presence of the Beis HaMikdash. To which the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, let's analyze this. And here we really drill down into the thrust of the issue. So we'll say, remember again, Rashi pointed out that we began this discussion, meaning the question of whether or not you could eat Meiser Sheni, separate and eat Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, Bizman Hazeh, that question presupposes that the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael still exists today. Still, meaning the kedusha, so the kedusha of the land still exists even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. So because the kedusha of the land exists, therefore there's an obligation to separate Atrumos and Maestros. Now the Gemara says, well, let's take this a step further. Fine, kedusha of Eretz Yisrael exists. But I will say, just because the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael exists does not mean that what? Does not mean that the kedusha of the Har HaBayis still exists even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, let's analyze this. So I'll say, if you hold that the Kiddush of Har HaBayis was consecrated and remains in effect, even what? Even in the absence of the presence, of the physical presence of the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, whether the Beis HaMikdash is there or not is irrelevant. I don't mean it like that. Meaning, not that it's irrelevant. Meaning, it doesn't impact the Kiddusha of the Makom. That Kiddushas Har HaBayis, Kiddushas Mikdash, it still devolves upon the place, even in the absence of the structure. If that's the case, Afil B'char Nami. We don't even have to discuss Meiser Sheni, that's obvious, but you could even actually bring a Bechor offering. I will say, if you hold that Kiddusha Rishon, the Kitchel HaShayta, the Kitchel HaSalavo, if you hold that ultimately, again, the Kiddusha of the Har HaBayis is still in existence, then what? you could be makriv karbanos. You could actually go ahead and offer up karbanos today without even, you don't need a beis hamikdash in order to offer karbanos. All you need is a mizbeach. You need a mizbeach, you need the altar, and you need the space, the harabayis, to be consecrated. So if you hold that the kiddusha is eternal, so why are we even having a discussion about ma'aser sheni? Of course you could eat ma'aser sheni Yerushalayim. You could even offer up the bechor itself. Take a look at Rashi. Ikai sefer kiddusha rishona, shabayis kitsh lo shayde v'kitsh lo asalavo, kiheichi disirle b'kiddusha asaharetz, v'kami boyle mikarina be'asafayim. But if you hold Rabbosai, that's what? That the initial Kiddusha of the Beis HaMikdash, of Harabayis, is only there when what? When the Beis HaMikdash stands. But if the Beis HaMikdash is unfortunately not there, the Makom does not have Kiddusha. Rabbosai, let me be clear on that. I mean, the Makom does not have Kiddusha as Harabayis. Of course, it starts with Kiddusha as Eretz Yisrael. But it doesn't have Kiddusha as Harabayis. Then what? Afilu Bechor Nami Tiboy. Then Rabbi say, ultimately again, then even Bechor will still be a question. Rashi says over here, Afilu Bechor, actually, yeah, not yet. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Ravina, so we'll say, Amar Ravina, Ravina says, the Olam Kasavar, Kiddusha L'Shaita, V'lo Kiddusha L'Asid Lava. So Ravina says, that really we hold, and I will say, you know, this is subject to dramatic machlokes. Remember again, we spent 5 hours on this, on Shavuos night, because this is one of the major discussions about, you know, when we spoke about the ability or the license to go up on Harabayis, Bizman HaZeh, are you allowed to ascend Harabayis? Not so. This discussion is one of the key determinants to the answer of that question. Does Harabayis actually have Kiddushas Harabayis or not? That is the fundamental question. Because again, if you hold that there's no Kiddushas Harabayis, then what? Then what? Then you're good. I will say, remember, you know, if we're not kicking into it now. But if you hold there's no Kiddush Harabayis, plus the fact that, remember, again, the present platform of the Harabayis is the Herodian addition. One thing is, we saw this in Sanhedrin, that in order to expand Harabayis and endow it with Kiddushas Harabayis, you need the entire Sanhedrin to participate in that. Did Herod have the participation of the Sanhedrin? The answer, of course, is no, for one simple reason, which was, he killed them, right? He wiped them out. Remember, again, Herod expands the Beis HaMikdash complex because he feels guilty that he pretty much wiped out the rabbinic community. That was his peace offering to the Jews, that he was trying. So the Gemara makes it sound like over here, Kiddush Rishona Kitsh, so Ravina says, Kiddush L'Shaita V'lo Kitsh L'Asad Lalo. No, that the sanctity of the Harabayis is not eternal. The sanctity of the Harabayis, I will say, is only in effect when what? When the Beis HaMikdash is there, but if the Beis HaMikdash does not stand, the Kiddush is not there. V'hocha, so we'll say, so what's the Shaila when it comes to Bechor? Listen to this interesting case. V'hocha, the Bechor shenizrak damo koldim l'chor ben abayis, koldim l'chor ben abayis, v'charav abayis, v'adayin b'sar okayim. I will say, listen to this case. This is a case of a Bechor which was offered when the Beis HaMikdash stood. Its blood was sprinkled, obviously, on the Mizbeach. And then what happens? Before there was a chance to consume the meat, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, obviously, this is an exaggerated case, but it's here to make a point. So what happens when you have a situation where the sacrificial parts of the Bechor were taken care of when the Beis HaMikdash stood, but now consumption was not done before, now the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? What's the halacha about consumption? So the Gemara says, V'adayin b'sar okayim, u'makshinan b'sar l'damo. So the Gemara says, what do we learn from here? That we equate the blood with the meat with the blood. Ma damo b'mizbeach, ach b'sar b'mizbeach. Just like the blood requires the presence of a mizbeach, in other words, you can only do the sprinkling of the blood with the mizbeach, so too, the consumption of the meat could also only be done with the presence of the mizbeach. So we'll say, so in this case over here, even though you sprinkled the blood, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because there's no longer a mizbeach, you can't eat the meat. Why is this important for us? Umakish Meiser LeBechor, and ultimately, again, this is the limud, and we compare, as we established before, Meiser Sheni to Bechor. And we'll say, ultimately, what does that mean? So we learn out from there that just like Bechor requires the presence of the Beis HaMikdash for all stages, requires the presence of the Beis HaMikdash for the sprinkling of the blood, and even for the consumption of the meat, so too what? So too Meister Sheni, in order to consume it in Yerushalayim, requires the presence of the Beis HaMikdash as well. To which the Gemara says, V'chidavar halamed behekish, chozrom halamed behekish, but I don't know, so what we're doing over here is, we're learning out were learning out the Bechor from a Hekish, right? And they were going ahead and learning that out to go ahead and teach us about Maaser Sheni. So the Gemara says, can you do that? The Chidavra Lamed Behekish, Chozer Malam Behekish, something itself that's learned out by a Hekish. Can it go ahead and teach something else through Hekish? Look at Rashi. The Chidavra Lamed Behekish, Min Adam. We're learning about the permissibility of the meat of Bechor from the blood. That just like the blood requires mizbeach, so too the meat requires mizbeach, and then we're using the meat to teach me about Maaser Sheni. Just like the meat requires mizbeach, so too what? Maaser Sheni requires the presence of the Beis HaMikdash as well. So I'm learning the din of the meat out from a hekesh, from a comparison ultimately to the blood, and then I'm using that meat to teach me about Maaser Sheni. So we'll say something itself that's learned from a comparison, could it then go and teach me something else from a comparison? To which the Gemara says, yes. Maaser Dagon Chulin Hu. So we'll say yes, because at the end of the day, so Maaser Sheni, I will say, is a discussion as much as it's quote unquote consecrated in that what? And that it has to be consumed in the Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos, say, it's not really, excuse me, in Yerushalayim, it's not really consecrated. In other words, it still has a din in Chulin. And therefore, when it comes to Chulin, Rashi points out, you can learn something out from what's called a double hekish, a double comparison. Amud Beis, Hanich Eleman Damar Basar Lamar Azlinon, Eleman Damar Basar Malami Azlinon Ma'ikal Neymar. So we'll say, that's fine, according to the one who says that you could do a double hekish, based on the item that's being learned. But the one who says that the prohibition of learning out, not the prohibition, but the inability to learn from a double hekish, goes on what Rabbi said, goes not on the item being learned, but on the source item, what is there to say. And as Rabbi said, so if that's the case, the source item over here is the blood and the meat, which means you're learning still out of double hekish from the source item, to which the Gemara says, Damu Basar Chadamilsi. To which the Gemara says, not really a double hekish. Why? Because the blood and the meat is one thing. Therefore, I will say, even though we're learning out, just like the blood needs mizbeach, so too the meat needs mizbeach, we don't call that really a hekesh. That's really one entity, and therefore, again, it's one hekesh, one comparison, from Bechor, ultimately, to Maaser Sheni. Fine? So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha l'maisa, is that Maaser Sheni requires the presence of a Beis HaMikdash. That at the end of the day, again, without the Beis HaMikdash, you can't eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Good. Says the Gemara, Katshe Kadoshim. So remember again, I will say, the Mishnah then goes through the rest of the list. Katshe Kadoshim, consecrated items, as well, and again, the Mishnah once again mentions Maaser Sheni. Tanina Chadazimna, Maaser Sheni Vektish, Lo Niftir, I will say, so the Mishnah once again states Maaser Sheni a second time. So yet the Mishnah, the Gemara says, but we already learned it. Maaser Sheni and Hektish, which were not redeemed, you go and you get Malkus for. So I'll say, the Gemara says it's talking about two different cases of Maaser Sheni. What are the two different cases? The Seifa, the end of said, the end of the Mishnah is talking about Maaser Sheni Tarva Gavratar. That both the Maaser Sheni is pure, is Tar, and the individual is Tar. And it's saying that if you go ahead and you eat unredeemed Maaser Sheni, that you'll get Malkus. The Ka'achil Chutz Lechoma. So I'll say, what's the case over here? The case is where I have Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. I'm tahar, the Maaser Sheni is tahar, and I'm going ahead in what? I'm eating it outside of Yerushalayim. What's the halacha if you eat Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim? You get Malkus, the Gavratar, the Ka'ach, the Chutzchom, Reisha. The first part of the mission, excuse me, is the Maaser Sheni Tamei, the Gavra Tamei. We'll say the first part is talking about a case where either the Maaser Sheni is Tamei or the individual is Tamei. So we'll say, so this is talking about consuming Maaser Sheni in a state of Tumah. We'll say, so that is either if I am Tamei or if the Maaser Sheni itself is Tamei, that'll be the case of Malkus. Ve'ka'och yaleib Yerushalayim. And I'm eating, we'll say, Maaser Sheni Tamei. Either I'm Tamei and eating Maaser Sheni Tar, or I'm Tar and eating Maaser Sheni Tamei, and I'm consuming that in Yerushalayim, I get Malkus that. So we'll say, there are two different cases of Malkus that the Mishnah talks about by Maaser Sheni. Case number one is where I am Tar, the Maaser Sheni is Tahar, but I'm making the mistake of consuming the Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, I get Malkus for that. Case number two is that either I am Tameh, the Maaser Sheni is Tameh, and what? I'm consuming it ultimately again within Yerushalayim. Uminale demechayiv alei mishum tuma. And I'm going to say ultimately again, how do I know? How do I know that if I am Tameh and I consume Maaser Sheni, that I'm going to be chayiv for that? Aras chayim Malkus, the son of Shimon Omer, Lo bi'arti mimenu b'tamei. So I'll say, the Pasuk says, I did not separate, this is by Vidui Meiser, I did not separate it out, b'tamei, in a state of tumah. What does that mean? Bein shani tamei behutar. That means I did not go ahead and deal with my maaser sheni, whether I was tamei and it was tahar. Bein shani tar behutamei. Ultimately, again, or whether I was tar and it was tamei. So we'll say ultimately again. We see over here now. We'll say this is talking about separation. This is about separating out the maaser. Hechal musra ala achila. We'll say from where do I know that I'm not permitted to eat it? In other words, from where do I learn that if either I am tamei and the maaser sheni is tahar, or I am turning the maaser sheni is tamei, that I'm not permitted to consume it. To which the Gemara says, "Eni odea." I'm sorry. Say eni odea. Tumas aguf behejiksiv. So I say the Gemara says, "Really, you don't know that?" Tumas aguf behejiksiv. The fact, if a person is tamei, and so the inability of a person himself who is tamei to consume maaser sheni is explicit. Nefesh asher sigabo v'tmea utmea ad ha'arev v'lo yocham mina kodeshim. Well, say the pasuk explicitly says that what? That if a person is tamei, again, referencing a particular type of tumah, he may not go ahead and eat from kachim. And we'll say kachim, right? Kodoshim does not just mean karbonos. Rather, kachim ultimately means any kind of consecrated item. So obviously, if a person is tamei, he can't eat anything that has some element of kedusha associated with it. Ela tumas atzumin. And we'll say rather, so the fact that if I am tamei, I can't eat my sasheni, that's obvious. The more intriguing case is tumas atzumin. We'll say, what if I am tahar, but the my sasheni is tamei? From where do I know that I can't eat it? Dichsiv lo sucha lecho b'sharecha. So we'll say, on one hand, the pasuk says you may not eat. We spent a lot of time on this pasuk a few days ago. You may not eat within your gates, and then the Torah goes through the listing of all of the consecrated items that you can't eat within your gates. Ula alanu omer, and later on it says, Bisha'arena tochlanu hatamei vahatahar. Later on it says, in your gates you shall eat it, the tamei and the tahar. The tanya, the Beit Rabbi Yishmael, afilu tamei v'tar ochlan v'kara achos, vein choshishim. It was said that even a person who is a tamei, even if a tamei and a tahar are going ahead and eating together out of one plate, we have no chashash. We're okay with that. And we'll say, now, what is this referring to? Take a look at Rashi just a moment. It's actually Rashi right across. Ulahalan hu omer. So we'll say, so the Gemara says that first the pasuk says, losucha lecho b'sharecha, you can't eat these consecrated items in your gates. And then it says, lahalan hu omer, Rashi says, b'buchor bal mum shenifta. We'll say, this is talking about if you have a firstborn animal which is blemished. What do you do with a firstborn blemished animal? You redeem it. You redeem it, and it can be consumed ultimately again by anyone. B'sharecha tochlanu, ule'el minei ksuv kiev emum. Look at the next Rashi. Afi luptami v'tar. So we'll say, the Torah says, if you have a blemished b'chor animal that you now redeem. Afi luptami v'tar. Da'af agav, da'aser b'giza v'avoda k'damrinon, b'cho avas nafshecha tizbach, v'achalta basar, tizbach v'lo giza v'achat v'lo klavecha, basar v'lo chalav, s'apchar chelev. Afi luhachi, tamei v'tar ochlen osu v'kara achas. So we'll say, if you redeem a b'chor animal that was blemished, so that animal could be consumed by anyone. Even a tamei and a tahar together, Rashi says over here. So afi luhachi, achas, I'm reading Rashi, d'ne'achala b'tumas agof o b'tumas atzman, d'cheivan d'tamei ochel ba'an haynu b'tumas agof, ochel atar, u'kishatar ochel imo, u'la'achar shenaga bo haynu tar ochel tumas atzmo, shachel asatamei. So we'll say, watch this. If I have a b'chor behema, to simplify this, I have a b'chor behema that became blemished. I can redeem it, and I can eat it. Torah also says, who could eat it? Afilu tamei tar yachtov. Even a person who is ritually impure, as a person who is tar, could eat it together. And I will say, once the tamei person eats it, then what happens? Once the person touches it, then it becomes tamei. And yet the tar is still consuming this. Vein choshishim. V'kam rachmano. Heich tamei d'shari l'cha gabi tara. Excuse me. So the Gemara says, v'kam rachmano. The Torah says, heich tamei d'shari l'cha gabi tara hasam. It will say, ultimately again, when do we allow the tamei and tar to eat together? It's only hasam. It's only that specific case. It will say, which specific case? Of a b'chor behema, which became blemished, that you are now redeeming. Only now can you go ahead and what? Only now can you go ahead and eat the tamei and the tar together. Hacha, Bosei, however, in this case, lo seichel. In this case, Bosei, if the item hasam, Bosei, hacha, refers to maaser sheni. In the case of maaser sheni, Bosei, however, if the maaser sheni becomes tamei, the tar may not partake of it. So Bosei, see here the limud over here? The Gemara Darshins, it is that, the Torah goes out of its way to say that there is a case where the tamei and the tar could eat together. Even though, when the tamei and the tar eat together, as soon as the tamei touches that food, what happens to it? It becomes tamei. Yet the tar can still partake of it. What's that case? That's the case ultimately again of Bechar Behem, which became blemished and then redeemed. But another case, i.e. Maaser Sheni, if the Maaser Sheni becomes Tameh, the Tar may not partake of it. So I'll say from here you see that if the Maaser Sheni is Tameh, the person who is Tar may not partake of it. Uminan Bar Petiyahu, we'll say, how do I know that ultimately again you could redeem this item? So how do we know that if Maaser Sheni became Tameh, that you could redeem it even in Yerushalayim? Now the reason, the novelty for that is the following. You could redeem Maaser Sheni produce, but what? You can only redeem it outside of Yerushalayim. Once you bring Maaser Sheni into Yerushalayim, it is no longer redeemable. It must be consumed in Yerushalayim. Tamal Omer. So say, how do I know that if I have Maaser Sheni that is Tameh, how do I know that I can redeem it even in Yerushalayim itself? Tamal Omer. Kilosuchal say so. Because Rabbi say you will not be able to eat it. That's how the Gemara is actioning this. And therefore, again, se'is means consumption. Shnemar, vayisa masa osma es panav. So Rabbi say, so from here you see that in the case, now again, normally the way we translate this pasuk is, v'chiyirbe mimcha derech kilosucha se'iso. Rabbi say, this is referring to the fact that if you live far away from Yerushalayim, and you can't go ahead and carry your Maaser Sheni all the way to Yerushalayim, so you have the license to what? To redeem it. Now the Gemara is making a supplemental drasha. Se'is also means eat, consume. That there are times, kilosuchal se'iso, where you can't eat the Maaser Sheni, even though what? The Maaser Sheni is already in Yerushalayim. What's the case where you can't eat the Maaser Sheni even when it's already in Yerushalayim? What's that case of Osai? Where the Maaser Sheni becomes Tameh. In that case, you could redeem it as well. So Amar Habibi, Amar Ravasi, Minayim Maaser Sheni Tar Shepol Dino Safi Lebe Pesiach Sos Lechoma. Habibi says in Ravasi, how do we know that Rabbi say if you have Maaser Sheni that is Tar, that you could redeem it, even if you're standing only one step out of Yerushalayim? In other words, Rabbi say, again, the normal idea of Maaser Sheni redemption is, I live far away from Yerushalayim, I don't want to schlep all of the produce to Yerushalayim, so I redeem it. I redeem it for money. I take the money to Yerushalayim, and I spend the money in Yerushalayim. How do I know that even if I'm standing one step outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, that I could still redeem the Maaser Sheni? Shenemar kilosucha le'seiso. But says Gemara, one second. But we need lochsucha le'seiso. But say the teaching what we just learned before, which was what? That if Maaser Sheni is Tameh, you could redeem it even in Yerushalayim. To which the Gemara says, imki limakra lochsucha le'ochlo. If that's the case, the pasuk should have just used lashon of you can't eat it. If you can't eat it, you can redeem it. Maaseiso. So we'll say, therefore again, ultimately again, what does seiso teach? Seiso teaches me that even if I'm one step out of Yerushalayim itself, I could still redeem the Maaser Sheni. So maybe it just comes to teach me this, not to just Shavuot. Maybe Lo Suchal says Rabbi Say teaches me that even if I'm just standing one step out of Yerushalayim, I could still do the Maaser Sheni. But it doesn't teach Shavuot Lazarus halacha. Imkein leimakra Lo Suchal litlo. So Rabbi Say, if that's the case, he could have just said, "Don't carry it if you can't carry it." My say so. Shmaya Natali. So Rabbi Say, ultimately the Gemara is suggesting that from Lo Suchal says Rabbi Say, I learned both halachas. What are both halachas? Number one, that if the Maaser Sheni became Tameh, even in Yerushalayim, I could redeem it. And number two, that even if I'm one step out of Yerushalayim, I could still what? I could still redeem the Maaser Sheni. Yosef Rav Chani Rav Oshia v'kami Barilei. Rav Chani Rav Oshia, we're sitting and responding the following question. Apischa di Yerushalayim mahu. I'll say, what happens if a person is standing at the entrance of Yerushalayim? Can he still redeem his Maaser Sheni? So the Gemara says, Pshita, so let's listen to this case. If I'm standing, let's say I have my Maaser Sheni on my back. So if I'm standing on the outside of the gates, like I'm standing with my back to the gates of Yerushalayim, so that my pekel, right, my Maaser Sheni is inside the gates. We'll say first wide line. Then obviously again I can't redeem the Maaser Sheni anymore. Why? Because the mechitos, the walls, have absorbed the Maaser Sheni. What about who bifnim masa b'chutz mau? First, the first wide line in your testimony is, what happens, however, let's say I'm standing in the walls, I'm standing in the entrance, say, but what? My pekel, my load of Maaser Sheni is outside of the walls. What's the halacha? So, tanaluhu ahu saba b'dver b'shem b'yochai. Ki yirchak mimcha makam. So we'll say one of the older men, right, in the shir of Rashbi, dash in the following. The pasuk says, ki yirchak mimcha hamakam. If the place will be far from you, Mimilu acha. I will say mimilu acha means from your fullness. Look at Rashi. Third wide line of Rashi, Mimulu Acha, Mikol Milu Ishelcha, Maso Shel Adam Chashev Miluo, Tilotim Mimcha Mikutzas. Most in other words, the idea is, in order for you to be considered distant from Yerushalayim, your fullness, your person has to be outside of the walls. If your person is inside the wall, even if what? Even if your pekel is outside the wall, you're considered to be in Yerushalayim itself, and therefore, again, your produce no longer redeemable. Bayra Papa, Nakit Le Bekan Yamai. The Rosh says, listen to this case. What about Halacha Lameisa again? What about if you have your Meisa Shenio, say, like on a stick, right? Like, you know, you're going ahead and you have, yeah, it's on your shoulder, but the pekel is not on your back. It's on a stick. So we'll say, so it's extended. So based on the drasha of Mimilu Acha, something that's on my back is considered part of my fullness, so to speak. Once my fullness is in the gates, so the pekel is in the gates also. What happens if it's a little bit dangling in back of me? What's talocha? To which the Gemara says, teku. To which the Gemara says, that Eliyahu will have to answer. I have to answer for us. Okay, interesting. I'm going to ask you, Rabbi Yochanan, Meister Sheni, Ne'emasai. And we'll say, actually, we'll stop over here. We'll stop over here for today. Brother Amar Abasi, I'll share with you a short idea on the parsha.